Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Easter Day. Jesus is risen, and may we see new wonders and truths and applications of all that means for us today in the 21st century. For we pray it in his glorious name. Amen. Have you ever been taken by complete surprise in your life? I remember one Sunday lunchtime back in the UK in 1999. I was a church minister, I was single, living on my own, and I just got in from our morning service when one of the church wardens rang to say that there was a problem at the school where we held our services at that time. It was a church plant, and he couldn't lock up yet, and could I come and assist him? So I got in the car, drove up to the school, and it was all very quiet, everyone had gone home, and I got inside the building, and I went through into the main hall, and it was packed with people, hundreds of people. It was my 40th birthday. And they'd organized a surprise lunch. It was just amazing. I will never forget that. It was totally unexpected. It was fantastic. And for once in my life, I was speechless. Well, we've come to celebrate Easter Day together. We know about Easter. We know about the resurrection of Jesus, and it's a great day to remember that momentous event in history and to rejoice in all that that means. New life, death defeated, and Jesus as supreme Lord, Lord over life and death, the Son of God. But what we know today, Jesus' disciples didn't have a clue about on that first Easter weekend. It was totally unexpected. Yes, Jesus had told them several times that he would be betrayed, arrested, and killed, then 3 days later rise from the dead. But they hadn't understood him. They hadn't taken him in. As far as they were concerned, it was all over. Jesus had died a horrific death. The disciple John, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and many, many others had witnessed his death on the cross. Jesus' dead body had been placed in a tomb. That tomb had been sealed with a huge rock and then guarded by Roman soldiers to ensure nobody interfered with it and stirred up even more trouble. So there it is. A dead Jesus, a sealed tomb, a Roman guard. There was no chance of a comeback from that. It was over. No wonder Jesus' close group of followers, his disciples, gathered together in a house in Jerusalem, frightened, sad, confused, and despairing. Their high hopes in Jesus of Nazareth were now totally and utterly dashed. Their great dreams left in tatters. Now, there are some comebacks in life today. You get comebacks in sport. I'll never forget seeing the Melbourne Rebels trail the Dunedin Highlanders 7-31 at halftime in 2013 at the Amy Stadium. Was anyone else there? There was a great, yeah. There's a few hands going up. It was 7:31 at halftime. The Rebels came back to win 38-37 in the most thrilling second half of rugby that I've ever witnessed. Sporting teams, rock groups, there's so many of them making comebacks, aren't there? TV shows, they all make comebacks. But you don't get comebacks from death, and certainly not from a man who's been dead for 3 days already. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, knew that as they headed off to the tomb on the Sunday morning, feeling devastated and brokenhearted. But when they reached the tomb, things suddenly began to happen. There was a violent earthquake, and then out of nowhere, an angel with the brightness of lightning appeared, and rolled back the stone in front of the tomb. The two women were terrified. Even the hardened Roman guards shook with fear. What on earth was going on? Ross Curnow has the answer.
No pressure. Well, I really love this angel. This is my absolute favourite angel. Now, the kids in Children and Families Ministry will tell you we always do angels at least once a year. And that, of course, is Christmas. We always do angels. Now, the angels, though, in that story, always have the same sort of thing, the same sort of job that they do. So whether it be the one that appears to Mary, whether it be the one that appears to Joseph in the dream when he's asleep, or the ones that appear to the shepherd, they kind of have this job that they're supposed to do, and they do it, they job done, they're out of there. They're pretty straight down the line. The last one at least gets to sing a song with his friends, but this one's really different. He comes in, and he rolls the stone away, as Mike was telling us, and then he sits on the stone, and that really bugged me when I first looked at this, and I thought, that's a strange thing. And then he kind of waits and hangs around for these women to be there. And then he talks to him, has a very special message and a very specific message. First he says, do not be afraid, which I think is angel for hello, because they all say it. But you've got to remember, they would have been pretty scary, all the light shining from them. And he says, I know why you're here. You're here to find Jesus who was crucified. And then he says something really disturbing. He is not here. This would have freaked them out. Now yesterday I got home and I was very, very tired. And I picked my sleepers up because my feet were very sore, and I realised they needed a drink. So I went and put them down in the kitchen, and then I went and had my drink, and then I couldn't remember where I put my sleepers. So I went back to where I walked in the house, and they weren't there. And so I thought, oh, I'll go upstairs, except I'm going downstairs. Go upstairs, and I thought, they're not next to the bed where else I put them. And I went into the study, and went back into the lounge room, and then I did the whole circuit another time, and then another time. I couldn't remember what I'd done with them. And I found myself getting really annoyed and really grumpy because my feet were tired and I wanted my slippers. And I eventually remembered where they were. And I thought, we get upset by such little things, don't we? Like losing our slippers, or we forget where we put our keys. These women had come to the tomb. Their friend had died on the Friday, and they thought they had lost his body. And it would have been really, really distressing when they found out that he wasn't there. The angel said, he is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Now, Mike already mentioned that a couple of weeks ago we looked in Matthew and we saw that Jesus telling the disciples what was going to happen to him, and they didn't really believe him, and Jesus ended up telling Peter off. And if we look in the book of Luke at this same story we're looking at today, when the women go to the tomb, it says that on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They took spices. They were not expecting to find someone alive. They were looking for a dead person, even though Jesus had told them. So either they had forgotten what Jesus had said, or they hadn't really believed it in the first place. They sort of heard it, they kind of believed it, but they didn't really believe it properly. And I had that experience every time my children tell me they've tidied their rooms. Yeah. So I always say the same thing. I say, show me. And I go in looking for something like this, and I inevitably find something like that. Not all the time. They're actually pretty good sometimes as well. It's very easy to hear stuff and to not really sort of believe it properly. You sort of know it's maybe going to be true, but you don't really take it in properly. You don't really expect it. And I think that's what's going on for the people who knew Jesus. And then, so the angel knows this, he takes them on an excursion, says, come and see where he was, you'll find he's not there. And then he gives them some instructions. He says, quickly go and tell the disciples. And I love his telling the women this, because the men probably thought they were more important, but he tells the women first, and they're supposed to tell the men. Go and tell them that he's risen from the dead, and you'll see him off in Galilee, he'll be there. And then, one of my favourite bits of all, he says, now I have told you. It's like, again, job done, nailed it. He goes, he's out of there. That's his big moment, and he disappears again. It's like we've got this little playful, cheeky kind of angel. It's a little bit different to some of the other angels you see. And it really bugged me that he sat on the stone, and I couldn't work out why that stressed me. And I looked at it one day at work here on a Monday, and I went home, and it bugged me all night. And it wasn't until the next morning that I realised that you don't go to a cemetery and sit on the end of a tomb. or you don't go and sit on the rail around the grave, or it's really disrespectful, and you just don't do it. It can upset people. And I thought, that's what's bugging me about this. I think the angel is saying, right from the minute that he comes down, this is such a big thing, he's saying that he's not here. This is not actually a grave anymore. There is no one dead. He really has risen from the dead. And I think that's awesome. This is the biggest day the world has ever seen. And we remember some big things that happen in history. We often look back at stuff and remember. This is the biggest day of all, because death has been defeated. Sin is paid for on the cross on the Friday. And on the Sunday, Jesus is risen from the dead and puts a seal on that. Death itself has even been defeated. And the world will never be the same again. These women who come to the tomb, they're heartbroken and they're devastated and they're upset and they're sad. And they leave knowing that God keeps his promises, even the ones that are hard to believe. And so we can have that as well. We can know that God keeps his promises too. Even the ones that seem difficult and seem like they're not going to happen in this broken world we live in, God will keep his promises. He even kept this one. Death's been defeated. And I love that that Jesus appears just at the very end as well. So he's like he's breaking his own rule there. He's already said, the angel said, you're going to see him in Galilee, but Jesus just comes and appears to the women anyway and says the same thing the angel said. And you get this tiny little snippet of the risen Jesus they get to see and go back and tell the disciples. This is the greatest day ever, and it is wonderful.
And it's wonderful news for us, but it probably didn't seem so crash hot if you were the Roman guards. For a start, they let a dead body escape. Doesn't look so good on the resume. And they would also have been very aware that any Roman soldier who failed in his duty could face the death penalty. But fortunately for the guards, events were taken out of their hands. The big guns moved in to try and make the best of what they saw as a complete disaster, the fact of the empty tomb, that Jesus was gone. And those who had engineered the betrayal, the arrest, and death of Jesus, that's the chief priests and the senior Pharisees and elders, they met up with the Roman soldiers who had been guarding the tomb and cut a deal with them. They paid the soldiers a large sum of money to make up a story for their supervisors. They were to say, verse 13 of Matthew 28, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. Well, that's the story the soldiers stuck to, and they went away with the money. But of course, they knew, and the Jewish leaders knew, and we know that this was a total and utter lie. Jesus' body had not been stolen. Jesus had risen from the dead. Now, some of you here this morning may be interested to read Sir Norman Addison's excellent little booklet, The Evidence for the Resurrection. If the resurrection is something you're still weighing up in your own mind, do ask me for a copy afterwards. I've got a few to give out. Finally, when it was time for Jesus to return to heaven, he called his disciples together to meet him at a mountain. And they all came and they worshipped him as never before. As the carpenter who had been a preacher and done wonderful miracles, Jesus had impressed and amazed them. But now that he was risen from the dead, they were more than impressed. They were in complete awe of this Jesus, who they recognized truly was and is the Son of God, and was so much more than they had ever realized or understood. And Jesus has got important words to say to them. He is leaving the world, but they will now carry on his work on earth. He says to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We've got baptisms tonight at our 6 p.m. service, 12 people. being baptized on Easter Day. Wonderful. Well, these disciples, like the 12 tonight, were to go and tell the world that Jesus is Lord. Just 11 of them. The same number as in a soccer team. Well, that plan won't get far, will it? Well, here we are, in Australia, thousands of kilometers from Jesus' Israel, on Easter Day, 2,000 years after those words of Jesus were spoken to his 11. And it's not just us, there are millions, millions of Christians who will be meeting in churches all over the world today, in Africa, in Europe, in South America, in China, in India, in the US, and many other nations. I think the plan worked, don't you? And why did it work? Because of those key words of Jesus, the final words of Matthew's gospel, when he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." With Jesus, anything is possible because he's always with us. That's his promise. And so the wonder of his resurrection fills us with confidence, with hope, with joy, with purpose, and with the certainty of eternal life. This is what Jesus' conquering of death has made possible. It's this risen Jesus whom we worship and serve. The Lord Jesus whom everyone is called to take seriously. For when he famously claimed, "I am the resurrection and I am the life," he meant every single word of it. Happy Easter.